Hello and thank you for listening to the Hope Canteen podcast, where we look at scriptures for the upcoming Sunday to find insight for our walk with Christ. This is our 28th episode. My name is Steve London, rector of St. Thomas, and as always, I'm joined by Stephanie London and Michael Rolfe, associate priests of the parish. I'm wondering, how are you all today? I know Stephanie has some different stuff going on.
Well, both of us. We have a positive asymptomatic COVID diagnosis in our family, so we are all hanging out in the house for 14 days together.
Yeah, it's a good thing we actually get along, so
yeah.
That's actually been a blessing. We have to take little mini walks because we're supposed to be just on our property, so
back and forth on the sidewalk.
Yeah, so we don't get very far, but we still like to get outside when we can. But to be honest, we also recognize we're pretty fortunate because, we do
all get along.
And we do have a nice warm house to hang out in, and I can do most of my work just like this through digital. Anyway, how about you, Michael? How are you?
It's being a good week. We're still adjusting to neither one of us having to go out to go to work, and that's interesting. We're just here all the time, or else we go and do our grocery shopping and then come home. Our grandson finished his exams yesterday and called us right away to say, can I come over? So he came over and spent the day. And I think he comes here so that he can eat. But we had a good afternoon with him yesterday.
Well, it's not bad to lure in grandchildren with food. That's how I was lured in. This week, we are looking at one of the parables of Jesus, the story of the wise and foolish bridesmaids. If you wish to read it before we get going, you can pause the podcast here and turn to Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 to 13. The parable is told by Jesus as one way to describe what the kingdom of heaven is like. He says there is a wedding. Now, for those of us who are reading this much later in time, we have to remember that an ancient wedding doesn't quite look like our weddings. This is an evening celebration, and the bridesmaids are waiting for the procession to go through the village. The process of celebration is backed up, and the bridesmaids are left waiting for a long time. They all have oil lamps, but Jesus says that five of the bridesmaids are wise and have brought extra oil. They are prepared. The others, he says, are foolish because they didn't bring extra oil. They are not prepared. The procession takes so long that they all fall asleep. Suddenly, the bridegroom shows up, and the foolish bridesmaids have run out of oil. They ask the wise ones for their extra, but the wise say that it is already being used. There's not enough. They need to go buy some more. They do so, but by the time they get back, it is too late. The party has already started, and the doors are locked. Even harder, they knock and ask to be let in. And the bridegroom says, I never knew you. The moral of the story, Jesus says at the end, is, keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. What does all this mean? Well, I turn to Stephanie and Michael for help. What did you all notice in today's passage?
This one always seems kind of harsh to me, because you'd expect that Jesus would be saying, yeah, of course, you should share what you have and you should be generous. But that makes me think that this is actually about something different than that.
It's almost, as I read it, it's almost like an Advent reading. I think the important thing is that it's looking to the future rather than looking at the existence, that present time. Be ready, because people were starting to say, well, when's it going to happen? When's Jesus going to come back? They were anticipating that, and Jesus was telling them that basically he couldn't tell them that. They just need to be patient and be ready, and that's what it's for.
Yeah, I think that's an important point. When they're waiting, that the bridegroom is delayed, so this is taking a lot longer than they expected that it would. And yeah, like you said, Jesus repeats a number of times that we're not going to know when he's coming back, but I guess our actions don't depend on us knowing the time. It depends on us being prepared.
It's one of those times where I think it's important for us to remember that the Gospel of Matthew was written a considerable time after Jesus' time with the disciples on earth. So Matthew would be remembering this story that Jesus had told in order to have it recorded. But he, in his mind, I'm sure, would have some sort of pastoral concern for the community. And so he would put it in for that reason, I think.
I was quite taken with this question of wisdom. I always find that really interesting. My understanding is that this theme of the distinction between being wise and being foolish, it's an Old Testament distinction that goes back to the book of Proverbs, this idea that there is a wise way of living and a foolish way of living, and that a huge part of being wise is indeed this being prepared and acting in a certain way. And so as I was reading through some of the commentaries and the ancient commentaries, and if we were looking at this as an allegory, the question of what it means to have oil seems to be correlated with this idea of wisdom. And so part of the question, well, what is this oil? Does it stand for something? Is it symbolic for something? And part of it, I was a little disappointed that the interpreters were all over the map as to what the oil might stand for. A lot of people said it might be mercy. Some people said it might be good deeds. Some of it that it was prayer and what have you. So it made me wonder, maybe the oil in itself is not as important, but that maybe the being prepared part is the important part.
I also hear this theme coming through of being asleep and being awake. It seems to be an important point that Jesus makes. And we see it in thinking of that Advent reading, sleepers wake, and even the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane praying with Jesus and they fall asleep. There's some kind of motif running through scripture about not falling asleep when things are important and being awake to what God is doing.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, Jesus in his story allows the bridesmaids to fall asleep. They're not they don't have to stay awake all the time. They just have to be ready for when Jesus returns. That's the importance of this. They're allowed to sleep. Although I'm left wondering, you know, did they have all the lamps burning all the time while they were sleeping, or did they turn some of them off? I don't know.
I get the impression that it's the having them burning all the time that it looks like. You know, it's interesting, Michael, you say that because, of course, so you're right about Advent. There's all these different parables that Jesus tells in different ways about the need to be ready when the master comes back. So he tells stories about servants who are told to be in charge and they end up being lax and actually, you know, beating and taking advantage of their other servants. And then the master shows up, or other stories about, you know, it's best to be prepared to wait on the master. And then another one that I found really interesting is that when the master comes back, the master actually waits on the servant. So Jesus seems to come back to the same theme in a variety of different ways.
Yeah, I think going back to the people that Matthew would have been writing to, I think we can tell that people in the first century thought that Jesus was coming back right away, and things are starting to stretch out longer, and they're starting to see some pretty serious persecutions. I can see people looking at that and saying, well, that must be evidence that this isn't true and I can just go do what I want. And I think this parable might be reminding them, no, persevere, because there are things you need to do. You need to be ready and you need to watch for the bridegroom.
And I think that's part of the importance of this particular reading at this particular time for us in this century. People were suffering hardship in those days and beginning to give up hope, I suspect. To say, well, it was good while Jesus was here, but that it was long ago now, like back to where it was before. And the message that they need to hear is that God is still active in life and God is still part of what they are experiencing, but also gives them hope for the future. Be ready, stay ready, because yes, the great day of the Lord will come. And I think that's what we need to hear today as well.
And in that, to act wisely, it strikes me that wisdom is one of those words, sort of like love, where English only has one word, but Greek has a few different words, or in this case, two different words doing two different things. In the one hand, there's this concept of Sophia, which is kind of this transcendental wisdom. But there's also a much more practical wisdom, and that's the wisdom that's in this one, phronimos, or what we would translate in English as prudence. And so I think that's this preparation. So wisdom here in this sense of is not wasting your life. I So I'm going to step out on a limb here. I just said earlier that the commentators were not sure what the oil stood for, but I still wonder, maybe it does stand for something. And so take it with a grain of salt. But I go to that end phrase, you know, what does it mean to be prepared? What does it mean to be prudent? What is Jesus asking of us here? And it's a bit of a disturbing verse when the bridegroom says to the bridesmaids, "Truly, I tell you, I do not know you." And it almost seems like what the wise have is that they already knew the bridegroom. Maybe they had spent all this time, or maybe that's the idea, that they had spent their time knowing Jesus and acting like Jesus and following Jesus, being disciples of Jesus, whereas the foolish bridesmaids were not, in a way. And discipleship and love of God and coming to know intimately in our hearts Jesus is not something that, you know, it's not like oil, which I could share, but it's something internal in myself. It's a transformed heart. And a transformed heart is not something I give away. So I wonder if it's this attention to our heart in this time of when we don't know the future. We don't know what's coming, but we can act here and now in the ways of Jesus.
Yeah, and in light of that, maybe the wise bridesmaids trusted the bridegroom enough to know that they would be prepared to wait as long as it took for him to get there.
So there's a trust there, which, mm-hmm. you know, that's one understanding of one aspect of faith is trust. So as we come to the end of our podcast, we often look at not just what the parable meant in its own day, but maybe it does have something to speak for us today. And I wonder if either of you are going to take something from this parable that might help us during this time of COVID.
About COVID is that it's a leveler. There are people who experience hardship for various reasons in society and others of us who are relatively comfortable. And yet now that COVID is here, it's a threat to all of us. It's something that we share in common. And so we all have similar anxieties, I'm quite sure. We all need to hear the message that God is still in charge and God will see us through into the kingdom. God is there for us. And I need to be reminded of that as much as anybody else does, I think.
I look around and I don't have to look very far to find people who are, you know, reading the signs of the times and guessing what God is about in terms of the end times or whatever. And I think this parable is both a caution that it may be longer than we think it is, and also hopeful in the sense that the coming kingdom of God is always sort of bleeding backwards into our time and our lives. And part of being alert and awake is being aware of that and living into it and to keeping focused, I guess, on what we can do to prepare for Jesus whenever he comes, and also to trust and know that, you know, the waiting is not going to last forever, but that there's a bridegroom and a great celebration on the end of it.
When I think about this parable, oddly, I actually think of the Lord of the Rings, a bit of wisdom in there. Some people don't understand that Tolkien was a dedicated Christian and packed quite a bit of wisdom into the story. And there's one part where it's a creature called a hobbit who is going through a very difficult time and bemoans that he had been born and has to deal with all this stuff and saying, "I wish these times had never been for me." And the wise elder, whose name is Gandalf, says, "Well, that's not for us. It's not for us. We have to deal with the time that has been given to us." And I think in a similar way, you know, we don't know the future. We can't control this. We are in the middle of it. And I think Jesus is telling us that as we await the end of all this, the end of COVID, the end of this election happening, the end of all these things, and yes, indeed, the end of when Jesus comes back. But again, all that is outside of our hands. What can we do? We can live a Christian life. We can come to know better Jesus. We can show mercy to our neighbors. We can build up one another, pray for one another, help one another, be with one another. I'm always taken by these one another passages in the New Testament that we're there for one another. And to be honest, I do think that's what that oil is and the thing. So I think we need to focus on what we can do and leave to God the things that we can't control. We have to deal with what we have now. So I find I find hope in this, that God will redeem it. And this is our calling, wherever we find ourselves here.
I think that's very wise.
I have difficulty with people who look at this and say, oh, these are signs of the end coming. No, that's not me. I'm not there. I'm very much in the present, and I need to continue to live as I have been and to do the best I can with what I have. Exactly. That's what you've said, Steve. Even I didn't watch Lord of the Rings, but I like the analogy.
Worth watching.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway. Every generation has its signs of the end. I mean, everyone does, but that's not what I think Jesus is calling us to focus on here.
Well, thank you so much for listening to our podcast today. We enjoy making them and going through the scriptures and finding some wisdom for us to live by. If you have any comments about what we've talked about, would appreciate anything that you send to us, either at revstevelondon@gmail.com or in the comments section on the website. Until next time, we'll see you later.
Have a good week.